it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, November 5th. It's a day before the elections, Brigetta.
It is. I can't hear myself.
Are you ready?
Yeah, totally. You know how I care so much about the election.
You're going to spend the whole day tomorrow volunteering, right?
Yeah. with a bottle in my hand. Of alcohol, that is.
But you're going to vote, right? Are you going to vote?
Of course. If you don't vote, you're retarded.
That's true, although it's meaningless in California because no matter what you vote...
It's still going to turn out exactly...
exactly the same.
It's kind of like in Maryland, too. Like, I grew up in Maryland. No matter what, it doesn't matter because it's not going to count anyway. What's the point? Like, really?
Yeah. How did your Ravens do yesterday?
We won.
Really?
Yeah.
Duh.
Okay, sorry. our Ravens kicked, like, you know, whatever. It was the Browns, and if you noticed my post all day yesterday, because I hate the Browns for many reasons.
Yeah.
And it became a Twitter battle, actually, between a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I, yeah, it was great. And he's like, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, oh, we just kicked did you not just see Torrey Smith score? Yeah, eat that. Have some of that. Rub it in. Yeah, exactly.
Good. So far you're winning for the most part, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really sure because, you know, with a couple of our players out, like I said, it's just been a little bit rough. I wasn't sure how we're going to do it, but we had off last week, so our team's, like, back and revamped and... We'll see. And cool. You know what? We're still ranked number one in our division right now. So
really?
That's good.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
and Schittsburg's behind us, so that's awesome. I hate them.
We'll see how long that lasts, right?
No, they're going to stay behind.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Schittsburg.
Brigetta knows.
Exactly. The nose knows.
Yeah, there you go.
There's another game tonight, so we'll see. I'm losing in my fantasy league, so that kind of made me upset.
Yeah.
I haven't really been paying attention recently.
Mm.
I know.
So you don't know who's good, who's bad?
Well, normally I'm like constantly like, all right, this person's injured. Like, who's the backup? And I'm like, you know, doing it right away on my phone, on my iPad as the game's going on.
Right.
So, like, no one else can pick up the player. Like, you know, I'm like, think quick. Da, 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 da. And I haven't really been watching all the games fully.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I'll set it on Thursday and just let it ride for the weekend. I know, I've been busy.
Yeah.
So,
were you busy this weekend?
I was.
Yeah.
You know, I went to this amazing play last night. You guys have to check this place out. It's called Rockwell LA. It's a new venue. The venue's been around for a little bit, but the stage part is new.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this new play called, it's Scorsese. So it's like vignettes of all this like Scorsese like films.
Really?
It is so awesome. Wow. And it's a musical. And it's 2 hours. And tickets are like $35. We got comp, so it was awesome. There was like six girls last night, and we got silly, and it was really awesome. I mean, the talent that was there was amazing.
Yeah.
And they used like a lot of the scenes they used were from Casino and Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And
I can't imagine those scenes in a musical.
Oh my God!
What is this?
It was amazing. It was so good. It was so good. Like it's
really?
A dinner theater. Yeah. You guys have to go check it out. It's on Vermont in Los Feliz. It's awesome. I actually want to bring one of the director in actually because. He's actually an actor in the play and then wrote the play itself and then is acting in it. It's a lot of work to do.
And
he's young. I'm like, oh, surprise. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty rad. It was packed last night, too, and the food there is amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was quite happy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's a place in LA that you haven't been, right?
Well, I'm always discovering new. I get bored easily.
Yeah.
I need new things.
Right.
You know? By the way, there's a LA wine event this week, which I think they're coming in tomorrow or the next day. But yeah, there's this event. I forget where, but you guys should definitely check it out. Google it. I'm always looking for new events, like new things to do and whatnot. So.
Okay. So we'll talk about that wine thing when it comes in and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like wine.
Okay.
Cool. Uses the paint. No, I'm kidding.
Otherwise, did you have a relaxing weekend?
I volunteer. I work this weekend at the Burbank Police Department and Fire Department for Paul's Matter.
Really?
So, yeah, it was an adoption thing. It wasn't as busy as I thought. Sorry, I'm going to be nice in so many words. How can I put this? No, the event was not like my events that I throw, which are amazing, and I have thousands of people come. There was, no one that came. Wow. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I don't know who this event coordinator is, but you're kind of retarded because the farmer's market was going on. Then there was an art show going on. And then literally a street up a little bit was the Paul's Matter. Mm. And nobody, I'm like, why didn't you think to coordinate this with the other things that were going on? So it was one big massive, thing. Yeah. That doesn't make sense to
me. And you think they have a professional event planner or something, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they sold booths for vendors to be there and no one showed up.
Wow,
and I'm like, right there, the farmer's market is packed and there's an art show with street vendors that's packed. Why are you retarded?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. And you could have, it's literally easily you can be separate events,
right,
but just speak to the other, because I don't see why people wouldn't want the constant flow, or Burbank itself wouldn't want the constant flow. It didn't make sense to me. Or at least put up signs, it's because all the streets were closed off, but nobody was coming up to the police farm area. I'm like, this is retarded.
Yeah.
So I felt so bad because they had all the little animals come on stage and they're trying to get them adopted and there's five people in the audience.
Wow, how disappointing.
And I'm like, this is so sad. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
But, it was cute to see them.
Yeah.
Pet them and play with them, and I felt good.
Yeah.
Paid my karma.
But you can't adopt anymore. You've got three dogs, right?
There's six in the house.
Really?
I know.
Oh, God.
And then there was this little cute pit bull, and I was like, oh, baby pit, I'd house you until you found a home. And then I'm like, what am I thinking? No, I'm not. I can't do this. No. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like an exciting weekend. I didn't do anything as usual, so I don't have any stories.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah.
We got to get you out there. It's okay. I have the bikini fashion show this Friday that I'm organizing and I'm in. So.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be fun.
It's kind of late, though, right? What time does it start?
Get there before 10:30.
Yeah, 10:30. It is late.
Well, it's a big celebrity fashion show.
Right.
Thing. It'll be fun.
But it is Friday night, right?
Yeah.
So it's cool.
I got a table. We got bottle service. It's free. Why not?
Yeah. Cool.
Drinks on his house.
Bikinis.
Bikinis. Yeah.
How can I say no to that?
Exactly. Exactly. Portia and Rachel Riley are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll
so you'll
cool.
know them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll meet the new girls, too, that I haven't met before.
You will meet lots
There's
of new girls.
There's other girls there, yeah.
Yeah. I've booked 10 girls.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Will you be able to walk okay?
That's what I'm debating. I haven't figured that part out yet. Shh. Hopefully they're not listening.
Do it sitting down, right?
Let me just scoot on the stage.
Yeah.
Don't put it past me. I will get creative.
Or
if I have
wheelchair
to crawl like a cat, I will totally do it. I'll roll around. Hey, it could be hot and sexy.
Yeah.
Throw some feathers around. I don't know. I'll make it work.
Crazy.
I'll make it work.
Yeah.
I want the bikini, so I gotta do it.
Yeah, you gotta
do it. You know what I mean?
Because
whatever you wear, you get to keep.
Wow.
Then it's my plan of what I used to do when I used to model a lot. Try on all the bikinis, so you wear all the bikini bottoms, and you're I sweat in it.
Yeah.
Move around a little bit.
You can't use it
It's mine
right?
now. Sanitary reasons, right? The secret of how you get to keep a bunch of bikinis.
You're getting a little gross now.
It's Monday morning. I've had a lot of coffee. Can you tell?
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Anyways, moving on.
All right. Let's move on. We have a very special guest in the studio. We're going to bring her in right now, and her name is Marcy Miller. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much, and thanks for taking the time to come here. I mean, we could have done it by phone, but we love people here in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, it's much more fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
definitely.
Wait, I must tell you, I'm from Baltimore.
Yay.
Where are you from?
Really?
Ellicott City.
Of course. And we're, of course, Ravens fans.
Oh, of course. We bleed purple.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no other way to be.
And what a great color.
Exactly. Purple looks so good.
Are you into football at all? Or?
Just Ravens.
Really?
Yeah.
Just them?
There's no other team.
No, there isn't.
Nothing else exists.
Used to be the Colts.
Yes, but
now
was,
we hate them.
Yeah, now we hate them. Literally hate them. And it's great because we stole your Browns team. Ha ha ha.
Exactly.
And we kicked your butt. Which we're doing better. Yay.
That's funny. So, Marcy, you wrote a book called Rebooting in Beverly Hills, A Wise and Wild Path for Navigating the Dating World. And I started reading the book, and it's very entertaining. And if half of it is true, which I'm sure it is, then you've had quite a life.
Well, it's 100% true.
Yeah,
the
I would imagine.
The only thing different are the names.
Yeah.
I like where your head is at.
To protect the innocent.
Exactly. Or the very guilty.
Yeah, the very guilty. That's exactly. Much better.
But, Brigitta, you like Marcy's message because she talks about, you know, you don't have to have a man in order to feel good and to feel complete and stuff. Right, Marcy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's roughly divided into pickups, fix-ups, internet dating, and hiring a matchmaker.
I love this.
And
I'm going to love your
book. As you go through that, you realize, hey, what do I need any of this for?
Right.
And I'm never going to meet anybody anyway until I'm so comfortable with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is so true.
And did you discover that recently or over time?
It was over time.
Over time.
It took me 2 years to go through that journey.
Yeah.
And it's when you finally enjoy being single, enjoy your life, and realize that you don't need to have a man in it. It would be nice to add that dimension, but it's not a need.
Right. Yeah. Because I tend to see this in a lot of women. You know, they feel under pressure to get married, to have a guy. And, you know, and it's just like it doesn't make sense because if you don't meet the right one, why settle?
You cannot settle.
No.
Yeah. You can it's a line. There's compromise and there's settling. You cannot settle.
Yep.
You have to compromise on a lot of issues. But in the book, I talk about a love manifestation, which is an exercise that you do where you put down on one side everything you want of the paper and on the other everything you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And you take 3 days to do it. And really you put down, you really think about it. And ultimately, it focuses your energy on what it is that's really important to you, what it is that you cannot settle for.
See, and I love this because back in the day, this is what I had, this magic book, and I would write in there what I wanted and then what I didn't want. And of course, like, I look back now and I'm like, oh, this has totally changed. Because it changes.
Exactly, it changes.
Yeah.
And the same idea with a vision board. I don't know if you've ever done that.
But I do. It's in my closet so no one sees it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you got to change them. And you change it up. And certainly, this was written at 50.
Mm.
And what I wanted at 50 was certainly different than what I wanted at 30.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
40. And maybe even it changes every 5 years.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense.
Very interesting. Yeah,
mine changes after every relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think that's
true. I don't want that anymore. I definitely want this.
But that's how we learn.
Right, right.
You don't grow and learn from good times. I think you grow and learn from the bad times.
Oh, right, this is very true.
Yeah. I mean, you know, after relationships, after breakups and stuff, I think I've learned what I don't want more than what I want.
Because
I always want, I know what I want, you know. But it's like until you're in a situation where it really bothers you, there's certain things that bother you. That
you don't even know until you're in that situation.
Exactly.
And you're like,
you know?
Well, how
and then
did
you
I
go, you
here?
Know what? This is bad enough that I don't want it again.
Right.
Yes. You and know? You could prioritize, too. After you've been through something bad, you say, okay, this sense of humor has now just become number two that I'm looking for, and not number five in my list.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so your story is you've been cheated on and everything, and we're going to talk to get to the Zulu princess and everything like that.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, she's been through a lot of stuff. But let's start at the beginning, Marcy. Where are you originally from?
I am from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And
okay.
I am a
so
lawyer.
So you were born there?
I was born in Baltimore. I'm a management labor lawyer, and I practiced in D.C. in New York and Baltimore.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
And very East Coast.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, what was your childhood like?
Sam likes to know everything.
Yeah, I mean, we got to start at the beginning so we know her.
Well, you
know?
Remember Baltimore.
It
was a very small, sleepy city.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of Leave It to Beaver-ish. My father was a doctor, and my mother did work, which was unusual back then.
Yeah.
And I have a brother and sister, and it was just, you know, pretty basic Baltimore childhood.
Did you have a good childhood? Good childhood?
I did.
No dysfunctions or anything like that?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Good for you. So you had it all set up for you?
I did. And I went to University of Pennsylvania, which was a wonderful school, my favorite, and in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Georgetown Law School in Washington.
Nice. Wow.
And I was definitely in that region.
Yeah.
So how did you know you wanted to pursue that kind of direction? I mean, in high school, did you know what you wanted to do?
Not really.
No.
I think I did take a year off and model. And I modeled in Paris. So oh, that was a very good year.
Oh my gosh, you're lucky.
I was so lucky. And now I still speak French, and it's still my favorite place in the world.
But how long were you there?
Just a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to stay longer, but my father thought it was like the worst possible thing that a girl could do.
I hear you.
He was pretty right.
Yeah. I know that route.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that was right out of high school?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Wow. What a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
You know what it is too, is I feel like in that area, I mean, there's a lot of arts and everything that's going on, but I feel like we've got, because of D.C. right there, there's so much, because I wanted to be a lawyer, and I went to the FBI training academy, and I did all this stuff like back in the day. But it was like, you have all the government, I mean, everything's government right there.
Right.
So it's kind of like, that's what, you know, I mean, all my friends are lawyers now, it seems like, or in that kind of realm, because that's kind of where we grew up around.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, isn't usually when your father's a doctor, you want to become one too?
I thought about it. My brother's a doctor. My sister's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
My mother ran a hospital. I was the black sheep. I became a lawyer.
Yeah. Which hospital? I'm just curious.
Sinai.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where was I born? Yeah, I was born there.
So was I.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Is it still there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. There you go. Yeah. Bad five. I don't know. I know one of them wasn't there anymore. I don't remember which one. I don't know. One of my brothers or sisters. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. So what was it like in Paris? What were you studying there?
Oh, I really wasn't studying.
Oh, you weren't studying.
She was modeling.
I told my father
modeling.
I was studying,
but I
did not study. I studied cooking.
Yeah.
Right. I was having the time of my
life.
I was 17.
Wow.
And there, women were chaperoned back then. So we stayed in an apartment building with a so-called chaperone. Mm. Believe me, I think I saw her twice in a year.
Really?
And just had a wonderful, wonderful
awesome.
Time.
You weren't afraid to go out of the country at 17?
No, because I had an agency looking over my shoulder.
Okay, and so you weren't alone.
Oh, not at all.
Great.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we would sneak out on weekends, but it was pretty wild, and it was really time for me to come back to Philadelphia and get serious.
Any interesting French young men that you met? But of course.
Exactly.
As
I get into a dreamy state.
You did. You got that look.
Yeah. It's, you know, it couldn't have been better.
Wow. So that's a memorable year for you.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. Did you model before that, too?
In Baltimore, there was a store called Hutzler's.
I remember that.
And I modeled for Hutzler's, and that's where I got seen.
Oh, wow,
that's
wonderful.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide you're going to go to law school? Did you start college first?
And I went to Penn, and then I just didn't know. I knew I didn't want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this was a long time ago. There weren't a lot of women lawyers, and I thought, how cool, I can be a pioneer in something.
That's true.
And I always thought it would be fun. I loved it. Remember Perry Mason and the Defenders? And I thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And when I went to Georgetown Law, there were very few women. And when I graduated, there were no women in the big firms. So it was a very difficult road. And there's still a glass ceiling, but it was particularly bad there. There was no real sexual harassment law
that was
protecting.
That's what I was going to ask you next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you should hear her story. You know, which
terrible things.
I've been in a few myself back in the day. I can relate.
So I write about those.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I started writing a book, but I was making up fake characters because I was like, I don't know if I really want to tell my story.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, maybe. So I can't wait to read yours because I'm
excited. Well, it is kind of hard to tell your story and to really go through some of the intimate parts.
Mm-hmm.
And but once you get on a roll, it's so much fun.
Like, I was making it silly. You know,
and I worked from the dating backwards.
Okay.
So I would go on these terrible dates, and I'd call my best friend, and we would laugh so hard. Honestly, I'd have to pull over. I'd have tears running down my head. And she said, when you get home, why don't you type it up and send it to me? And then I did, and it was cathartic to do that. And then more and more, I was getting really the start of a memoir.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
So you went to good schools. I mean, you
must have
been smart,
huh? I did. I went to very good.
Huh?
I am smart.
You are smart. Okay. You still are.
I still am.
So did you graduate law school?
I mean, oh, no, she didn't graduate.
I don't know.
I mean,
you know,
she's a lawyer, but she didn't graduate.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I even went back and got...
Shut up.
I got something called an LLM, which is a master's in law at Georgetown as well.
Wow.
And then I practiced for... 18 years?
18 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So you moved up in the company, right? I mean, you obviously worked for different
companies.
I went
to different firms.
Different firms.
And then ultimately for a wonderful firm in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to, and I had a baby. And I was living in Baltimore and commuting to New York on Amtrak.
Oh, my gosh.
So I decided I couldn't do it. I wasn't seeing my baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I opened my own law firm in Baltimore, and it was the first all-female management labor law firm.
That's amazing.
There.
How cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's awesome.
So at what point did the kid come in now? You didn't mention any of that. Did you get married before
I got
that?
Married to some in law school. To somebody that I had gone to Penn with.
So was that like your early 20s, right?
Yes, mid-20s? Early 20s.
Early 20s.
And that was my first marriage.
Uh-huh.
And
you met him in college?
I did.
Okay.
And I followed him to Georgetown.
Oh, really?
And then we had a baby, a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a divorce when my son was 2.
Oh, okay. Aww. So how long were you married total to that?
13 years. That's a long one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it is
long.
A very long
one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you waited 13 years to have a baby?
I waited 11 years.
11 years to have a baby.
Yeah, because I was working on my career.
Yeah.
I was very serious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Okay. So then you got divorced. You were a single mom, and you moved to New York.
Yeah, I moved to Baltimore.
To Baltimore.
Back to Baltimore from D.C.
Why am I not? Yeah, I can't keep up with all this.
I don't know.
Stuff.
I think it's a lot of that.
Well, she's from Baltimore to New York to Pennsylvania.
You know why? I'm on it. But you know what? I think it's because our
because we know it.
Yeah.
It's all the Amtrak line.
Exactly.
Yeah, she moved back and forth. I can't keep up with that.
I know.
It's not like California.
But you know what it is? I'm picturing it like in my head.
You
can see
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really close together.
Yeah.
When I say that I worked in D.C. and lived in Baltimore, it's like...
Like
same
commuting
place,
to the valley.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, it's in bad
it's
traffic.
It's like half hour, 40 minutes. Yeah, it just depends. Well, it depends on traffic.
Right.
You never know.
I took that train, the commuter train.
Oh, well, then you were... Yeah.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's that close to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like, I grew up smack dab in the middle of D.C., Baltimore. Yeah, so everything was right there. But we used to go party in Baltimore just because, I don't know, we just did.
Well, you can't party in Ellicott City.
No, you can't. Nothing, although I used to chase deer.
Yeah, that I believe.
Yeah, it was a fun night. Let's go chase some deer. Let's go get them and go fishing.
That's about it.
That's really about it. There's nothing else to do.
It's a pretty main street.
Yeah, it is very pretty. And I was in theater there. I love it there. I love going back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't want to live there.
No.
That's
no,
how
no,
I feel no. about Baltimore.
Yeah, I can't do it. The right. same people doing the same thing they've
exactly.
been doing for years and years. And there's nothing to do unless you want to get wasted. Mm. You know, there's Canton, Federal Hill, and Fellows Point, which is great because there's like a couple hundred bars in like a 5-mile radius. And you're like,
wow.
Oh my God, what do I do? But you can only like, I mean, literally 3 days I'm out. Get me out of here. Get me out.
It's great for young people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's good when the Ravens are in town or like if I go to visit, I'm like, yes, a game. And get a little crazy, and then get me out of here. I'm
yeah,
done.
Exactly. Like, me too.
Back here. Need to breathe.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got up and moved with your son. Did the father feel that he didn't want you to take the boy out of town?
Or? Oh, I didn't move from Baltimore until the day my son graduated high school.
Oh, really?
Because I did not want to take him away from
Good
his
for you.
Father.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. You know, otherwise you break him apart. And it's terrible.
No, I would never do that. And I literally dropped him at college, moved here, and bought a house.
Really?
Literally. He said to me on the phone, where am I coming for the breaks?
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go.
That's so funny.
So what made you decide to move here?
I fell in love with it here. And I had never really been here. I did a little bit of law, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
I love the people. I love the light. Obviously, I love the weather.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I could have gone anywhere at that point, and I chose L.A., and I love it every single day.
Really? Why did you choose to move, though?
I am a breast cancer survivor, and I had a very tough year.
Wow.
And I got my treatment at Johns Hopkins. Thank you to all of them. And when I was finished, I was ready to start over. I wanted a new life.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect timing because my son was leaving anyway.
Right.
So it couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah. Good. Had you been to L.A. before? I mean, did you know what
Very
you were going
little.
For?
No. When I got here, I knew no one. I couldn't find a hardware store to save my life. it was really starting over, and it was a wonderful challenge.
Wonderful,
did you move to Beverly Hills area? Or what?
I did.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no...
She knew...
There's no hardware stores there.
It was hard.
She knew where to go. She's like, I'm going to start at the top here.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you come here from Baltimore, 90210 sounds really good.
Yeah, exactly. This is true.
Well, so you were still a lawyer. Did you plan on doing law here? When
no, I had retired from, I had sold my law firm, which is very rare. I was very lucky. Mm. I did not take the bar here. I wanted to come here and really not practice law. Mm-hmm. I'm on a couple boards here where I know that my law background comes in handy, and I do a lot of work for friends. But mm-hmm. other than that, I did not want to be a lawyer.
Were you burned out at that point?
Yeah, I was burned out, and also I kind of blamed the stress for part of my sickness.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what... Well,
that makes sense. I mean, I'd be very stressed.
I'm into natural healing and energy healing, and I feel like a lot of things that... sicknesses we have in our life, we bring on, not realizing. Could be from stresses or...
Yeah. Toxic people.
Exactly. And that's usually the biggest...
I had a toxic husband.
But,
who was the one that I start the book about.
Right.
I can't wait to read this book.
So you moved here, and at what point did you meet your second husband?
Oh, no, no, no.
No?
Those two were from the East Coast.
Oh, the first one and the second. So we didn't get to the second one yet.
No, but the second one, we don't. He's like a blip. It was only a year, and we really didn't live together. He lived in the New York area in Connecticut.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And you were commuting.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel, I wanted to be honest in the memoir and mention, but I feel that anything under a year, you can really write off your resume.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. Huh?
It was a long date.
That's really funny. Wait, so does that mean like all the, never mind, I'm going to be nice. I don't know who's listening.
Yeah, don't ever name names.
Now, it's tough to have a long distance relationship, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's like, because
I don't mind.
You don't mind?
No. Because, no, like, and I used to be like, oh, I can't do it. But I will say that the last relationship I was in was a little bit, was distant. And well, maybe that's why things changed when he got here. But,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was only about 5-6 hours difference. Mm-hmm. But it gave me the time to focus on my life and what I'm doing. And then we would have fun. And then, like, on the weekends or whatever, we would go and travel and whatnot. And it was really good. But then he moved down here, and it was a complete shock factor, I think, for him. And then that just changed everything.
Yeah.
And then
it was
gone.
What you're saying, I believe, in 50 and over is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because you bring all of your baggage with you, and you want your bedroom just right, and you want your things just right. And it's nice just to have somebody on the weekend.
Yeah.
But back then, I had this little boy.
Right.
And I wanted a family.
Right.
And that's not what I was getting. So.
Right. Mm.
But so did you marry for that particular reason, or because you wanted to be with the guy? I mean,
because
sometimes we marry for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, no,
right?
I think it was you tell me if this was right or wrong. I felt that it would be very bad to have a man under my roof with an 8-year-old son who I wasn't married to.
Okay.
So I felt that was the right thing to do.
Right.
In raising a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
except he wasn't really living there, right?
Well, he came on the weekends.
Yeah.
You're so funny.
So it's probably in hindsight an iffy reason.
Right.
But at the time, I felt very good about it.
Yeah? So you didn't mind the fact that you wouldn't see him every day and so forth?
No, because I was busy practicing law, raising a son.
Yeah.
Right.
It was really quite fine.
Right.
When you're so absorbed in, like, your own life, like, you don't realize the time passing. So,
yeah. But you know what? I view relationships as, like, you know, if I want to, let's say I'm feeling down or whatever, sad, and I want to be with you right now. I can't. You know?
Well,
because
you do.
So all you can do is talk on the phone.
It's called,
you know?
Skype.
Well,
no. But yeah, I agree with you. It is, that is the downside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
because you know, I've been in one,
yeah.
And all you can do is talk on the phone. So after a while, you know, because when you're with a person, you don't have to talk all the time. You know, when you're with them.
Right.
But when you're distant, all you can do is talk. So after a while, you just start talking crap. You know, because there's nothing more to say.
You're filling the time. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And then it
yeah,
you know,
I guess so.
But it does keep some of the romance going.
I think
does
so.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes it more spicy.
Mm. I do too.
Yeah. Ow.
Maybe this is girl versus boy here.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys want just to have a man when you want them, not all the time.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
I mean,
no, it's a little more than that. It's not just a man. We'd like a relationship.
Exactly.
A relationship, right.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need to be there all the time.
No.
And especially not in the beginning because you're building it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I feel like the more gradual it is, I mean, I just feel like if you jump into something then right away, then you're not giving it the time to get to knowing one another.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, now what, you know? And then...
Right.
I don't know. I just think the more, especially now coming from everything that I've gone through in the past, the more gradual it is, it's kind of fun, like, you know, getting to know that person and opening them up. And then it's like, it's a slow, gradual process. And
yeah.
then it's like you build foundation. That's what
Absolutely.
It is. It's like a strong foundation.
And it takes a while.
Yeah. And I'd rather have like a best friend, literally. Like when I'm looking for someone like in a relationship, a partner, I want them to be like my best friend. Like I want to look at you and you know what I'm thinking, you know? And it's like if we're out and about and I just give you that look, it means we're going to get the hell out. Or it means like, ooh la la, let's go somewhere. You know what I mean?
I agree
like,
with you.
Like you know what I'm thinking. Exactly.
And be a team too.
Exactly. It's a team thing. Like whatever you do, it's like, that's what I want.
Right.
So, and that's hard to find in this
very
town.
No, it's not just the town. I think it's hard to find in the world.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm so jaded with LA right now.
But you shouldn't feel that way. Because I've dated in New York and Baltimore and here. And I think that it's basically the same, yeah.
And then I'm wondering, though, is it because it's the major cities? You think it's like a city thing?
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You want to be a farmer?
No. I would.
There's somewhere in between,
mind.
Though. You know?
I'd be bored out of my mind. Yeah, no.
Yeah. But I think when it's long distance, you're more liable to get into affairs and things like that.
I don't. You know?
No.
When I'm committed to something, I'm totally in.
Right.
Yeah.
But what if you say, you know, I want to be with him right now and I can't see him for 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Oh, well, you don't let that amount of time go.
No.
No, you have to do it for like pretty much every weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, that doesn't work if you're coast to coast then.
No, well, that's a different kind of long distance relationship.
I couldn't do that.
Right.
Now
that's what I was talking
about. We're talking about 5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you could fly or drive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you can fly from coast to coast, but I'll be damned if I could afford it. I mean, there's no way.
It's expensive and time consuming.
Yeah.
It's a whole day.
Yeah.
You know?
You've lost a whole day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, exactly, like with the whole like 5 hour thing, at least it's like, you know, 5 hour trip, like leave in the morning, get there, or a quick flight, not a big deal.
Yeah.
And you can make little surprise trips.
Well, my
or
best,
meet halfway.
And my best friend lives in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And her husband lives in Aspen.
Wow.
And
really?
They either commute back and forth or they meet in fun places. Like they'll meet in New York.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll meet in Europe.
See, that's fun.
That's really fun. It keeps it really spicy and fun.
That's true. How long have they been together?
10 years.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So it works for them.
It really does.
Wow.
I see. I could do that, you know, here and there, but I also like having someone to sleep next to at night. I need, like, a cuddle bug.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
No. Well, but she'll get it maybe 3 months a year.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It just seems to work great.
Yeah. For them, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I need to go on trips, though, too. I need to, like, get out and do stuff, or I will go crazy.
Yeah.
Me, too.
But that's me, personally.
No, me, too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Exactly.
You know.
To each his own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could, like I said, I had a long-distance affair once. Not an affair, a relationship. And, I mean, she was in Canada. I'd have to travel, like, every
far.
2-3 weeks.
Yeah, that's really far.
Well, I don't know if it's any farther than to go from here to New York. You know, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but we're saying that's far.
Yeah.
That's far,
too. Far. I can't do
okay.
that. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So we agree on that.
Yes.
Okay. So what did you decide you're going to do here once you moved here?
Well, I was at that point still recovering from being sick, but I decided to join some boards. And to get involved in LA so I could meet people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do everything like a business person. So I targeted the boards that I was interested in that would combine my interests. And at the time, one was the American Friends of the Israel Museum because I love art. I love museums. Mm-hmm. I love Israel. Another was MoCA because I do love contemporary art. Uh-huh. And another was Cedars-Sinai because I wanted to give mm-hmm. back. And the fourth was LACMA, again, mm-hmm. for the art. And I just started volunteering and getting involved, meeting the people. Great. Getting some women friends, which mm-hmm. is so important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And going to events and then working my way up to different board positions.
That's good. So that's a good way to meet new people.
Absolutely. Because
right?
yeah. it's so good. You're doing really good things.
It's good right. karma.
You're exactly. Yeah. You're helping people. You're helping yourself by yep. meeting interesting people.
Yep.
And they're pre-selected people. They're people who share your interests.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's a really great way to meet people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, but were you making a living off of that? Or?
No, I retired.
You retired? Wow.
I retired for the time being because I had sold my law firm and got some money.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, this is the first time in my life I haven't worked. I'm taking a few years off.
Why not?
This is great.
Why not? The American dream.
Absolutely. It was wonderful.
So at what point did you meet? So I know you met a third man
yes.
became your husband as well. So you like to marry.
I do like to marry. I'm a serial marrier.
Yeah.
What sign are you? I have to ask.
Libra.
Oh.
What are you?
I'm Sag Cat.
Ah.
But Libras are like my best friends.
Yeah.
It is true.
We're
like,
very well balanced.
They are.
And we like beauty and we like everything happy. And
mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just that I wanted to get married. It seemed like the men that I was with were always pushing to get married.
Really?
That's interesting.
I don't
yeah.
know why.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think they need maybe some security, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, because you're a good balance
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, someone to do the cooking and the laundry.
Oh, yeah, right. My kitchen is closed.
Well, maybe that's what the men think. I don't know.
I don't mind cooking if it's like, if I'm doing it for someone. But I'm like, I want to check out this new restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I
want to
do.
Yeah.
I want to go out.
Exactly.
Because we're from small places
that's
where
true.
You couldn't go out.
That's true.
It's still so much fun to go to different
yeah.
places.
Because like,
we didn't grow up that way.
Yeah, and you know what it is, too? It's like every morning I have to go and get my coffee from somewhere. And like I thought about it. I'm like, you know how much money I spend on coffee? Like a month?
Really? Worth every penny.
Yeah, because it's like, and then everyone's like, you're so weird. I'm like, but it's the thought that I get to go in and like see people and then I get my coffee. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, a special latte that I can't make at home.
And I also say in the book, you should get in long lines because
yeah?
you never know who you're going to meet.
This is true.
And talk to and who's going to see you.
Yeah, this
the
is
more
true.
Eyes on you, the better.
This is true. And I talk to a wall when I'm bored. I'm like,
Yeah, I talk to everybody in line.
Oh my God, you never
it's
know.
It's fun. You yeah. never know.
I'm like, oh, give me your Facebook. Do it all the time. See, this is what I'm trying to encourage him to get out there and do it. And yeah.
Yeah. No, I will.
We're gonna make you get out there.
Yeah.
It's really not so
exactly.
hard.
Exactly. Well, you know.
It's a state of mind. Either
it
you're
is.
Open to it or you're
yeah.
not.
Yeah,
that's true.
And how does it hurt to be open to
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Right.
Just
yeah.
don't care. So what?
Exactly. Don't
yeah.
care.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't care.
Because if you never see them again, you never see them again. And then if they wind up being like your best friend, then great.
That's
and
true.
You never know.
Yeah, you just
yeah.
never know.
Yeah.
Right. So you met your third husband. How did you guys meet?
We met on an airplane.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love that.
On US Air.
Oh, how fun.
Wow.
And he had just moved from a country that I don't want to discuss because
I pretty much figured
away.
It out from the book. Go ahead.
And and I was sitting after a very bad business meeting in New York. I was going from New York to Baltimore on mm-hmm. the shuttle, and then he was going from there to Orange County where he was living.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down, and he said to me, American women dress so well. And I thought, oh, yeah, I have to be the ambassador for American women now. So I said, thank you very much. And we talked a little bit.
Yeah. yeah.
He gave me his card. I gave him my card. And we started a long-distance relationship. So I
really?
Know what that is. Coast
so he
to
was
coast.
Sitting next to you on the plane.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So I thought, this is meant to be.
Yeah.
And he gave up Laguna to move to Baltimore.
Oh, my God.
And that's almost like you're obligated to marry
wow.
him, right?
Okay, yeah, that's like a big move.
That's a big move.
That's a huge move.
Yeah.
But And
yeah.
most of all, my son loved him,
aww.
Adored him.
Wait aww. A minute. So you were still in Baltimore when you met him?
I was still in Baltimore.
So that was not in L.A.?
Nope.
Oh, wow. See, we're jumping all over the place because...
No, when I moved from Baltimore to L.A.,
right.
I moved with him.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to
okay.
move to New York. I wanted to move to L.A.
Okay.
And I said, this is my turn. We're moving to L.A.
Yeah. Awesome. So, and what does he do?
I don't want to.
You can't discuss it. Okay, that's fine.
Careful.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So, so you guys got married in Baltimore, and then you moved out here.
Right.
And so you moved to Beverly Hills. I mean, that's what.
It was a dream.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
It's still fabulous. I love every second of it.
Yeah. Now, was he able to also leave his? Whatever he was doing.
His field translated out to almost everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
So that
cool.
worked out great.
Yeah. So he moved to Baltimore and then you guys moved back to L.A.?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I get it. I know, it's a little complicated.
Yeah, you have a very complicated life. But, you know.
I want to hear some like fun, crazy dating stories.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. I'm like, let's get to the good part.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorites is, and by the way, I blog for the Huffington Post.
Oh, awesome.
And a lot of this, some of this is in the Huffington Post, and I get so many reactions, and they're so interesting, because to see the male reaction to all this. But the matchmaker, who was very expensive, provided the worst dates. And because she got a premium if she made a marriage, a very big premium. So she would just throw anything at you, hoping that she would make it stick.
Right.
And but she fixed me up with a guy who lived in the beach area, and he seemed like a really nice guy. We went out a couple times, and then he took me on a romantic dinner, and we're eating this lovely dinner, and he says to me, "By the way, if you're going to be my girlfriend, you have to have sex with me 300 times a year."
What?
Exactly.
And he's gonna
almost spit my fish in his face.
I would have spit it.
And I said, you know, like, are you counting? He says, yes, I count. And
is he like,
so if you don't want to do that,
that's weird.
I think we should stop dating. And I said, geez, you just fired me from a job I hadn't accepted. And I got up and I left.
That is so, was he like, like OCD basically?
No, he was a very successful businessman, handsome.
I wonder if he wanted you to be his deviance.
I don't think so, but I don't know.
I'm thinking like 50 Shades of Grey. Like,
I didn't stay around long enough to find that out.
That is so weird.
I mean, give me a break. Who counts and who asks you that?
Exactly. You just go with the flow. What if it's
so
five times a day?
Yeah,
awesome.
And what if we did 295? That wouldn't be enough
for him. I know. It becomes a negotiating point.
You're under pressure at the end of the year.
What if I went to 600? What if I want it 3-4 times a day for like, really? That's just weird.
It was so weird. So I called the matchmaker and I said, have you really interviewed these guys? Because this is just okay.
No.
Wow.
So that was a fun one.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things. So tell us about the sexual harassment thing. That was funny. With the guy in the hotel room. With the guy in the hotel room.
Now, remember, I'm in my 30s, and there still aren't that many women. And this was a very big, high-power D.C. firm that had very few women. And I was away with a young partner in Iowa because we were seeing a plan. It's labor law, so it's always plants and things. And he said, come by my room and get me and we'll have breakfast together first. So I knock on the door. It's like, I don't know, 7:38, whatever it was. And I open the door. He's completely naked. And he grabs me.
With a hard on, right?
My God.
He grabs me and throws me down on the bed.
You liked him.
I'm, of course, you know, shocked. I'm a lawyer here. I want to be taken seriously. I'm dressed in my suit and my attaché.
And this is a guy you know also.
And married and kids.
Oh, you married kids.
No. This is an older guy.
Oh, gross. No.
And
you're married and he knows this.
Oh, it's awful. And I then reported it to the senior partner and it was really taken out on me.
What?
Really?
Yep. It became very difficult for me to work there.
How often it happens, huh? Quite a bit.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
And partners stick together. It's but this
that
was also early on. I hope that men would not behave this way anymore.
Right, yeah.
Well,
I mean, even in the military, you have all this stuff the time.
Something
you know?
Broke today that somebody's being investigated for five.
And it's usually, and the women are viewed as the perpetrators rather than the victims, you know?
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. Awful. And I left that firm very quickly.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is why it pays to know, like, really big people. to go and handle it. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Not mess with
it. So now are you still married to your third husband?
Oh, no, no, no.
No?
That's the one that opens the book with he cheated.
Right.
And it was a very bad, it was a retail situation, how I found out. I got a thank you note. You know how stores write thank you notes?
Uh-huh.
I got a thank you note from Bergdorf's. It was really addressed to him, but I opened it because it said Bergdorf's on it.
Right.
Thanking him for bringing his wife to Bergdorf's and buying a sable coat.
Oh.
And I wasn't in New York.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not a good situation.
Uh-huh. No.
And
no.
It spiraled downhill from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, you see, and that fascinates me because I don't understand people cheating and using, like, community resources to do that. Like, what I mean is, if you have a credit card that your wife can see, you don't use that credit card.
Well, it's arrogance, of course, but it's also, you know, I'd been married 12 years. I wasn't monitoring the credit cards.
Right.
And I don't want to be that person anyway.
No, no, but not to monitor it for bad reasons, but to see what charges are on the statement, you know?
You don't get lazy after 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
You know, you trust the person and you let them handle. He's a businessman. I let him handle.
And he didn't have any reasons to suspect anything.
No, I really didn't. My son was his partner. Everything was really going great.
Right.
That's so weird.
So you confronted him about this, and what happened then?
Well, first I called my old law firm in New York, and I got their private detective.
Oh, see, this is... I like you. You're like me. This is what I would do.
Information is power.
Oh, my God. I just went through this, so I know, and I knew. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she found out, too.
Really? I'm very good at getting... I'm known to be a hacker. I'm very good at getting into things.
Oh, that's
good. If I need to be. Not that I would, but I needed to know for my own peace of mind, and I saw everything right there and didn't say how I knew or what, but I waited and waited. And then I just, he lied.
Yeah.
Like, of course.
Boldface lied. And then the funny thing is, she wrote me and asked me questions, like not knowing. She's writing me questions about, like, him and I. And I'm like, this is really weird. Like, why would she ask relationship questions? And I'm like, this is hilarious. I'm going to watch this reaction. So then that's how I confronted him, saying, like, well, why would this random girl, just curious, you know, how would she know things about us? Like, did you talk to her? Because I don't really talk to her. So I'm just, but I already knew the answers because I had already known everything. So I just was watching the reactions. And it was just really funny how it went down. And he still has no idea how I found out.
Yeah. Well, you see, with technology, there's no privacy today.
Right.
You know, I don't know how people, I don't know how people can cheat with all this technology. I mean, everything that you do leaves traces.
Yes, but the flip side is that with the technology, a person can be anywhere on their cell phone. It used to be that you could call the hotel and ask for the room and do all that kind of stuff. Now, you don't know where anybody's staying.
People who upload on, this is how I found out, when people who upload things on Facebook through their phone don't always turn location off because they're not the brightest. So when they're tagging places or posting something, it actually says,
where,
like,
they are.
The location. And I'm like, that's funny. That person's there too.
Hmm. Well, I kind of think in my age group, they don't use Facebook as much.
This is true. This is okay.
You know, at 50, you're sick to death of that stuff. But the cell phone is a problem because they could be in their lover's arms and say they're in their hotel room.
And you don't know.
And you don't know. They're on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right.
But in this situation, this detective was fabulous, and within 4 hours, I knew everything.
Wow.
I even knew her hair color. But then I called the salesman, got even more information, and I waited a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I confronted my ex, and his first reaction was, how dare you open my mail?
Mm. Do you usually open his mail?
No, you know, no, but if it's from a store, sure.
Right.
It's from Bergdorf's. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
No, I mean, because I think in a relationship, there's no mine
too.
Or yours, you know? I mean,
it wasn't a big deal.
You know?
And so I said, is that it for you? And
right. Like, really? Is that all you're going to say?
And then it was, he was doing, it wasn't, you know, it was not his girlfriend. It was the girlfriend of one of his people that he was taking in to buy a Christmas present. You know, I got the whole story.
Wow.
And
whatever. Yeah.
And then down the road, I got, okay, I'm so sorry. And let's try to rebuild. But I'm not, it's not okay with me.
No.
Right.
No.
And once a cheat, always a cheat.
Sorry. Exactly. Yeah.
That's true.
Exactly.
Huh? Did you try to take him back after that? Or?
No.
No.
Because
that
I can't. I don't want to look over my shoulders.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want to have to feel that
you
way.
You can't trust him anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You can't trust. Is too important. Once it's broken, it's gone.
Right.
And it's so weird because you have good intuition as well with everything, or
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to say like I just hacked into the account for the hell of it. I had a premonition, literally. Yeah. It was so, and this is going to sound insane, but I had the craziest premonition, and I knew it was going to happen. I just knew it. And then it was like the day before, actually, and I had asked them the day before, and they were like, no, what are you talking about? And it didn't happen that day. It was the next day.
Yeah.
And so I just knew it, and that's when I was like, all right, I have to figure this out. So I started like figuring it out, and then that's
good. I think your angels and guides gave you that.
Kind of so. But you know what? I'm glad, because now that's done and gone, and it was a bad thing anyway, and I'm so glad to be done and over with it.
Good.
It feels so good.
It's important to have that closure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the good part.
Well, we got to wrap up, ladies.
We're
talking to Marcy Miller. She wrote the book Rebooting in Beverly Hills.
I didn't realize time is gone.
Now, do you have a website where people can check out?
I do. It's rebootinginbeverlyhills.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
everybody go out, get the book. It's on Amazon and everywhere else. I read part of it this weekend. I highly recommend. So if you guys want to, even if you're not on the dating scene or anything, it's nice to.
It would be. It's a good read.
Yeah, it's funny.
A good read.
Yeah.
And I guess later on you also offer advice and
I
stuff.
I do. I offer a lot of practical advice, both a little bit of legal advice, but a lot of practical advice.
Cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And she's
I'm
got
gonna
experience.
I'm going to post it on my Facebook too, so everyone can check it out.
Awesome.
Yay.
Okay, Marcy, you're a lot of fun.
Thank you.
There's still a lot to cover still, but you know, maybe we'll have you come back sometime.
Exactly.
We'll
I would love that.
Somewhere. Absolutely have to.
All right. So everybody go out and get Rebooting in Beverly Hills. And thanks again
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
Bye.
Brigetta, thank you.
Bye.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an L.A. Talk Radio production where we say what we want. We'll be right back.